When he sat where the fire was blazing in the palace of Israel's high priest, and he began to protest in the most vehement manner that he had no connection at all to this Jesus of Nazareth, at least some of the people did not buy into his denials. Matthew, the chapter 26 of verse 73 records, "And after a while came unto him they that stood by, and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee." His language, or in particular his Galilean dialect, gave him away, identified him, defined him for who he was and who he most likely would have been with. And to a large degree, this is what happened with our Lord Jesus Christ as well. His words defined him, they identified him, they revealed him to be more than man, nothing less than God come in human flesh. And so in the passage we've read tonight, beginning in the first 14 of John chapter 7, down to the end of the chapter, we have read along through verse 46, where the officers, when confronted by the Pharisees, and they say, "Well, why didn't you lay hold on him? Why didn't you trail him in here? Why didn't you bring Jesus forcibly to us and put him on trial in front of our eyes?" Those officers, they raised their protest, and they answered, "Never man speak like this man." Tonight, for a brief time, at least briefer than usual, we're going to focus on Christ's ministry and ours. Or we could even rephrase that and say that Christ's ministry is ours. And we're thinking particularly tonight upon the wonder of his words. The wonder of his words. The words spoken by the Lord Jesus were God's words. He received them from God. Christ claimed that they were not spoken of himself, but both what he should say, the manner of his words, and the language that he should use, the vocabulary that he should pull in to express the manner of his words, what he should speak, the words themselves, they were given him of the Father. So if we're talking about a question of origin or authorship here, then Christ speaks God's words to us. Consider the following vital scriptures, one in the Old Testament and the other in the New. Isaiah 50 in the verse 4, "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned." Words that are so appropriate in the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word." Then over in John 12 and the verse 49 and 15, our Lord Jesus testifies, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." So he's proclaiming the good news of heaven from the Father, straight from the Father's heart. So the words of Christ, they were gracious. Look forward into verse 22. They came and they were spoken with authority. Matthew 7 to verse 29. They were unique. They stood out as being words that no other man on earth would have been capable of truthfully uttering. And so in John 7, 46, we've already referred to it. We have the testimony of these soldiers coming in and they say, "Never man speak like this man." We've never heard it like this before. And the words were spirit and life. To those who heard them and mixed that hearing with believing. How important to hear and to heed. The very lesson our Lord himself underlined. If I am speaking and these are the words of God to you, how important you hear and heed. John 12:47-48, and if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Don't hear and eat. And judgment sweeps in. And that was so clearly illustrated in the incident related by the Lord in Matthew 7:24-29. The building of the wise man, constructing his house on the rock, and the contrast with the foolish man who thought the sand would be a good and appropriate foundation. Why did Jesus tell that story? Here's how he begins it. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. And he goes on to say, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And immediately after the story was told, these notes are made. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. The wonderful words of Jesus. This year, 2010, like any other year, our spiritual progress and blessing and success will depend on how we respond to the words of our Lord. How we treat them will dictate how he blesses us. So the authorship of these words, the attributes of these words, I want to point out very quickly, seven things the Lord said about his own words. He said they were spirit and life. John 6:63. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. People are going about today, they look for hope. They look for crumbs of cheer, to mend, to encourage, to lift up their broken hearts, to help them in the middle of their shattered dreams and the broken pieces of their lives. And much of the world's song is more or less saying, oh yeah, you're in difficulty. Yeah, so are we all. Just get to live with it. There's no greater hope we can give you. Life is a falling apart exercise. And many of the lines of the world's songs today are so dismal and depressing. Christ saying, my words are spirit. They are life. He also says, secondly, they are like seed. In Mark 4:14, the sower soweth the word. That parable of the sower so well known informs us that the Son of Man is going out and he is sowing the word. Seed spreading the life. Seed having life in itself. The word of God bringing life unto all of those who will hear and will heed it. And God, we know, has chosen the vehicle of the preaching of the gospel to be his means of reaching out and saving men and women. They are spirit and life, Jesus' words. They are like seed. They are a cleansing agent. The means of our sanctification, of course, in every item that is pushed out into the field of advertising, big claims are made. The best cleaning agent, maybe Mr. Muscle this and Mr. Muscle that, and how he can take out stains that nothing else can ever come close to taking out. The Word of God, Jesus' words, they are a cleansing agent par excellence. The means of our sanctification. John 15:3. Now ye are clean, Jesus said, through the word which I have spoken unto you. In that high priestly prayer, John 17:17. Sanctify them, he appeals, through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Also about Jesus' words, they bring us into liberty. How many times have we heard quoted from Free Presbyterian pulpits the words of John 8:31-32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Freedom, liberty, emancipation, through the words of Jesus. Not only that, they bring us eternal life. John 5 and verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Again, the point is re-emphasized. John 8 and the verse 51, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Everlasting life. Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful words of life. Christ, the Blessed One, gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinner, list to that loving call. Wonderful words of life, all so freely given. Wooing us to heaven, they bring these words, eternal life. And then a sixth feature, according to Christ, about his own words, they will never pass away. Matthew 24, 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. You know, it's a real indictment of us. If we know all the words of the world's song, those empty little songs full of nothingness, and if we know them and yet at the same time know so little of Scripture, now could you quote me a Bible passage? Do you know it off by heart? How much of the word do we know? Have we taken the time and expended the energy to place it in our memories? Have it imprinted upon our minds. This word that Jesus said, it will never pass away. It's well worth the effort to know it. And then the seventh feature that he underscores regarding his words, they will judge the sinner at last. John 12, 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So we thought about the authorship of Christ's words, the attributes as defined by himself of his words, and thirdly and finally, what about our appreciation of them? As we look at the words of Christ in the Bible, we are struck by their brevity. All the recorded words of Jesus Christ could be printed into a 16-page pamphlet. I know you have some Bibles and you have the special edition where the words of Jesus that he actually spoke or printed and read, bring them all together. 16-page pamphlet is what you would have. His longest speech takes a mere 15 minutes to read aloud. Begin at Matthew 5, work through to Matthew 7. However, those words have worked wonders in this world. Revolutionized the lives and the homes of millions. Brought life and peace and rest and forgiveness to the living and to the dying. There was a man a couple of centuries ago now, Rudolf Steer, who wrote volumes that run to 400 pages each. 8 volumes. On the words of the Lord Jesus. 3,200 pages. On what Jesus spoke, 16 pages. And thousands of volumes have been churned off printing presses over the generations of time that other people have written on this subject, the words of Jesus. You see, they're so few. Their brevity stands out, but they are so mighty. Their beauty as well. Judged on the level of ordinary literature, these words, without question, are the most beautiful in the world. None of the world's greatest writers can sit alongside, compare with our Lord Jesus Christ. Who has ever written stories that rank alongside the prodigal son, the lost sheep, the good Samaritan? Conduct a search of the world's libraries, scan through the productions of those who have challenged for and actually won the Booker Prize and the Costa Book of the Year and other prizes, and you will be compelled to conclude, as these soldiers did, never man spake as this man. We have a hymn in the book, someday we'll have courage to sing it. Beautiful words of Jesus. Spoken so long ago, yet as we sing them over, dearer to us they grow, calling the heavy laden, calling to hearts oppressed, come unto me, ye weary, come, I will give you rest. Beautiful words of Jesus, cheering us day by day, throwing a gleam of sunshine over a cloudy way, casting on him the burden we are too weak to bear. He will give grace sufficient. He will regard our prayer. Beautiful words, known for their brevity, known for their beauty. Also, they stand out on account of their purity. The world has produced many moral codes. Philosophers, moralists of every kind have looked at society and, like our would-be new Prime Minister, have lamented about the state of society and the wreckage that's all strewn around it, and have thought, where is it all going to end? This is terrible. And they brought in moral codes to try and make the people live right. But where is the purity that scales the heights reached by that Sermon on the Mount? It stands out preeminent in its simplicity and nobility and purity and power. And the words of Jesus, they're known also because of their sympathy. Whoever spoke so tenderly to the human heart as our Lord Jesus Christ? Where can we ever find a match for that gracious and loving appeal quoted in hymn form, Matthew 11, the verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Sinners drew near to hear him, for he said he was come not to condemn them, but to save them, not to call the righteous, but he was welcoming sinners, the guiltiest of the guilty, through to repentance. Jemima Luke captures exactly my feeling when she writes, I think, when I read that sweet story of old, when Jesus was here among men, how he called little children as lambs to his fold, I should like to have been with him then. I wish that his hands had been placed on my head, that his arms had been thrown around me, and that I might have seen his kind look when he said, let the little ones come unto me. Brevity, beauty, purity, sympathy. We must also consider their wonder. One of the strangest, if not the strangest fact about the words of the Lord Jesus is that they were centered around himself. But it wasn't a display of egotism or pride. He said he himself was salvation. Those who would find rest in life, they must come to him. Those who were thirsty must come to him and drink. Those who were hungry must come and eat of him. He said, I am the great I am. If men and women out there want to be saved, I am the door. If they would come to the Father, I am the way. If they would walk in the light, I am the light. If they would ever hope to rise again and live beyond the grave in the paradise of heaven, I am the resurrection and the life. And he said as well, not just all of these things, but he himself was God. John 10 and 30, John 14 and 9, I and the Father are one. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Words they are of power. Words that have wonder tingling through them. And then we think of their prophetic value. Our Lord indicated things to come. looked into the future. John 14, one example. Parables, the 10 virgins, the wicked husbandman, the sheep and the goats, many other passages where he is peering into the future. And these complete chapters are devoted to the subject when Christ will come again for his own, reign in splendor and power and in glory, execute judgment upon the earth. Those words were prophetic in their nature and then their dignity. These are high words. No confusion. No uncertainty. No hesitation. No mistake. No perhaps or no I think or no possibly. The words are invested with dignity. Never man spake like this man. So what do we do with his words at the beginning of a year, thinking, how will we progress this year? Let us wholly rely on his words. Cling to them. Let us study them closely to learn of him, to penetrate, to evaluate his heart, to thrill our souls, and let us make them known to others. The world hasn't got a message, and we could put the full stop in there, but it certainly hasn't got a message of hope, hasn't got a message that will lift the soul, hasn't got anything about salvation. We have. For we have the words of the Savior. Let us make them known unto others. Spread the blessing sweetly. Echo the gospel call. Wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all. Wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior. Sanctify us forever. Beautiful words. Wonderful words. Wonderful words of life. Lord, speak to me and speak through me, I pray.